Welcome back again, ladies and gentlemen, to another week at the Player's Voice Barbershop. I'm your host, Mark Gray, and you all know the worst producer in the business. How you doing there today, A1?
What's up, guys? I know everybody missed me last week. Happy to be back in the building.
That was terrible, again. At least you said something, but that was terrible. But I'm glad to have the worst producer back in the business. You see, you were gone and last week and the sound quality suffered. That's why you're here, and you weren't here, and that's why you're the worst in the business, because you're just not here when you're supposed to be at work. A lot happened. For those who are wondering, the whole tournament, all of that stuff will be addressed in a different show that will be recorded tomorrow with TJ and Delonte. Coach Hill will be here, join us, and we'll talk exclusively about the tournament. We'll talk about Maryland and all the picks and all of that good stuff. So if you're waiting for the tournament show, you're looking for some more bracket advice or whatever the case may be, that show will be on a separate show, but you can see that, and it'll be all talking about Maryland and the season that they had and the tournament. Just want to talk about the other world of sports, everything outside the tournament. We had a couple of different things I want to talk about this week. I want to say disrespected. I can't think of a more disrespected two-time league MVP than Steve Nash. And Steve Nash retired this year. Essentially, he's been retired for all intents and purposes for 3 years now. You know what I mean? He's retired. The day he signed with the Lakers, he pretty much retired. You know, he didn't play one single game this year, played a handful of games last year, and was just really a shell of himself. But at his best, Steve Nash was the definition of a point guard. I think when you look at the point guards that we've had in history, I think you have Magic Johnson and then you have everybody else. I'm not even going to dare to speak on Oscar Robertson or any of that situation because I don't believe in talking about what you've never seen. You know, all we've seen about Oscar is just the numbers, which the numbers are ungodly. So I don't want to speak on Oscar Robertson as a point guard. If anybody would like to claim Oscar Robertson is the greatest point guard who ever lived, I'm not going to dispute that. I think in my generation, from what I've seen, you have Magic Johnson, and then you have everybody else. And Magic Johnson, what separated Magic Johnson is that he was able to do so many different things with his size. So I think what would give, what sets him apart is how big and how tall and athletic Magic Johnson was. Now, Steve Nash wasn't Magic Johnson. Okay, that goes without saying. But I think he's at the top of that next tier of point guards in terms of Hall of Fame point guards, whether it be Stockton. If I have to go into a draft and I'm looking for the ideal point guard in this era where there's the Westbrooks. It's a completely different era now with the Westbrooks, I don't want to put Chris Paul in that category, but the Kyrie Irvins, the Damian Lillards, these guys who score first, then pass. And they equally can do both. But when they come down, make no mistake about it, they're looking for the best opportunity to score, which they believe is them. Nash played with tons of talented people and made several people tons of money. I mean, the amount of people who owe Nash money, whether it's Stoudemire, Joe Johnson, Sean Marion, I mean, lots of money. You know what I mean? That guy we always talk about making people better. Steve Nash was the definition of making people better. And in my generation, the only person I've seen do that and literally orchestrate the flow like that was him and Jason Kidd. Jason Kidd was a lot bigger than him and played defense. Was a premier defender, especially later in his career. And Nash played zero defense. I think a lot of that had to do with D'Antoni.
What about Gary Payton?
Gary Payton, I have him in that tier. I like I said, it's going to be Magic Johnson, then the next. And in that next year, I'm going to say Stockton, Nash, Gary Payton, Isaiah Thomas. I actually almost want to. Did I say Jason Kidd already?
Yeah,
I almost want to put Isaiah 1A to Magic Johnson's 1 in terms of just because of his leadership and his will to win. I think he's also a very underestimated player when it comes to NBA history, and I think a lot of that has to do with who is off the court more than is on the court. But the difference when I say Gary Payton, just assist-wise, Nash, the way he just found people in the right positions, the way he made so many people look a lot better than they really were. I'm not going to say that Amari or Sean Marion or Joe Johnson, for that matter, any of those players weren't good players. But when they were on the floor with Steve Nash, that Phoenix offense was just something to watch. You know, it just always was. It was amazing. And not only that, the difference also, I think, with Nash is while Nash could be every bit the scorer that Westbrook and these guys are, okay, like anybody who watched those games and you remember, and now that because now you know nowadays everybody's so stuck in the moment that people actually think, like, when you talk to people about Steve Nash, they think Lakers Nash or the guy at the end of the career. And no, I want you to go watch, put on YouTube, go back to any game in 2006, 2007, any one of those Phoenix games. Steve Nash could score any single time down the field. He wanted to score anytime. He pulled up on a fast break, 3 feet behind the 3-point line, knockdown. He's one of four people in NBA history to have a 90-50-40 season. That's 90% from the free throw line, 50% from the field, and 40% from the 3-point line. And he did it four times. Okay? Like, that is how good of a shooter he is. Whereas though Nash could be in the debate of greatest shooters in NBA history. Like, that's how good of a scorer he was. And teams could not keep him out of the paint. Okay? So here's a guy who I remember when DeMar, our co-host, was with the Spurs, and they played the Spurs played against Phoenix in the playoffs, and we were talking about it, and I said, what does the scout report say? What are you supposed to do with Steve Nash? We can't do anything with Steve Nash. So you can't keep him out of the lane, and you can't let him shoot. There's really nothing you can do with Steve Nash.
It's like saying, what do we do about Barry Sanders?
Yeah, it's just, there's nothing you can do about it. They could not keep Nash out of the paint, and the dude, if you give him as much as 1 inch, he can shoot. You know what I mean? Nash could easily been switch him off to the two and let him go score. And he scored. So, I mean, you'll see the scoring numbers and you say, oh, you know, he averaged 18 points, 15 points, 17 points. If the game called for Steve Nash to have 30 points, Steve Nash would have 30 points like it was nothing. If that's what the game was called for. You know, how many times did you see 17-point game, 9 of them in the last 3 minutes of the game? Because that's what the game called for. And to me, and DeMar and me have had this conversation several times. He's from the same book as me, obviously, because he's an off guard. That's what I want from my point guard. Like, Westbrook this year is going to lead the NBA in points. I have zero interest in that as for my point guard. I don't. I think that's fascinating. I think he's – I don't want to take anything away from Westbrook and his talents. I don't want my point guard to lead. I don't want my point guard to lead my team in scoring. I certainly don't want him leading the NBA in scoring. I don't want him leading the NBA in shot attempts. I don't want him leading my team. It's just not what I'm looking for. You know what I mean? If I see a team and the point guard leads the team in shot attempts, to me that says there's no ball movement. The guy who's bringing the ball up the court is taking more shots than anybody else. That means more times than not, you have a better chance of him coming up and him shooting than you do him passing you the ball. And that's just not how I would want my team run. And if you look down the history of NBA, shoot first point guards, where's their championship record? Who's the one that you say, man, that guy right there was a shoot first point guard, and he racked up rings? You know, as long as we've been alive, how often has the leading scorer on the team been the point guard? Isaiah Thomas is the only one I can think of. And when
Allen Iverson.
Allen Iverson, one, is very much a two. He's not a point guard by any stretch of the imagination. And there was nobody else on his team. And he didn't win a championship. Also, you know what I mean? I felt like, you know, you remember Eric Snow was actually the point guard of that team.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
And a lot of people, a lot of the hate that Steve Nash gets is because he did. And it wasn't his fault, though. But he did get one of Kobe Bryant's MVPs. And that, I think, really rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. And a lot of people didn't like the idea of him winning back-to-back MVPs. I think he, hands down, should have won the first one. The second one was because people just didn't want to give Kobe Bryant the MVP, which is, to me, that was such a telling sign about what the award was. And this concept that writers get to say who's the, whoever came up with that idea, you know, that writers have the say in whoever. So a bunch of writers are upset with Kobe Bryant. And it was almost like he had to win back their graces before. And when Kobe finally won his league MVP, it was almost like they were giving him acceptance again. You know what I mean? And that to me is just this complete malarkey or whatever you want to call the word. Just the idea. And the same thing with the Hall of Fame. Like, why do they get to decide who's the greatest players or not. Why, you know, and how many of these people have their own agendas? You know, when the Kobe Bryant thing, I don't know if you remember that year, but it was Kobe Bryant had the most first place votes. And I'm trying to remember what the number was. I would say pull it up, but you're the worst producer in the business for a reason. It was like 25 people left them off their ballot altogether, which is what says personal agenda other than like, hey, that'd be like coming into this year where whether it was Harden or Curry or Westbrook, and you're just like, yeah, I don't even have Curry in my top 10. Like, what? Who are you going with? Like what Josh Smith is doing out there in Houston. You know, it's just, what are you talking about? How do you not have Kobe in your top five? And this was the year he averaged 35 points a game. You know what I mean? So how do you not have him in your top five? That's personal agenda. And that's part of the reason that you have the Marshawn Lynch's of the world who just hate the media. Because why do you have your personal agenda? And why is that letting you affect who you think is the best player in the NBA this year? But anyway, say all of that to say, Steve Nash, great career. I don't think he will ever be remembered the way he should be. Led the NBA in assists 5 times. And in my book, anytime you lead the NBA in anything once, that's impressive. I mean, the NBA is the highest basketball talent in the world. And if you can lead that group in anything, let alone a major category like that 5 times, that's impressive. One of the best shooters of all time. He's finishing as a guy who shot a high amount of threes per game. He's going to finish his career with a 49% field goal percentage. That's crazy. I mean, you think about how many people have played this game, how many guards have played this game, and have never come close to averaging 40. Kobe has never even come close to shooting 49% for a season, let alone for his career. Westbrook won't smell 49%. A lot of these guys don't sniff 49%, and that's what he did for his career. 43% from the three-point line and 90% from the free throw line. That's unreal. And his career assist number is actually a lot lower because oddly enough, when he was in Dallas all those years playing with the talented group of Dirk and Michael Finley, I think that team was also underestimated. I think a lot of the fault is how much those Dallas teams underachieved. Now, big part of that was, now you will look, it's easy to say he played with Dirk and Finley and those teams should have won more. Those teams were losing too, that Kobe and Shaq era. A lot of times people get judged unfair versus Barkley and Karl Malone. They played in an era of Michael Jordan, okay? Steve Nash, Dirk and Whiskey Finley, they played in an era where it was Shaq and Kobe. Shaq and Kobe, you can make an argument that they're two of the 5 best players of all time. You know what I mean? There's arguments for Kobe being the best, there's arguments for Shaq. But whatever the case may be, they're two of the 10, 15 best players to ever play this game ever. And they were both in their prime at the same time. That's scary. So losing to them is nothing to hang your head about. And I remember Kobe used to cook the Mavs. And Shaq, too. Mark Cuban had it at one point. Him between Sacramento and Dallas, they had every 7-footer in the league. Like, they would just sign them and just kept signing them and signing them. You remember, they used to just throw them out there. Every 7-footer they could possibly get their hands on because there was no stopping Shaq. The only way you could stop him was to get as many people with 6 fouls out there as possible. All that to say, Steve Nash, great career. Don't think he got the respect that he deserved. And I'm as big a Kobe fan as anybody. And please know that Steve Nash didn't give himself the MVP. Somebody else did that. So, yes, he did steal one from Kobe. But, you know, that was given to him. Let me see. What else do we have here? And I wanted to talk to you about something that's troubling me about the NBA. And I'm not sure if it's getting the attention it deserves. When I was a kid, okay, growing up here, I spent an early part of my life in this, about a 5-6 year span in this Maryland area, okay, and this was going to be late 80s, and grew up as a kid, always basketball fan, huge basketball fan, but since I was born in Philadelphia, I was always a Sixers fan, so me and my brother, our favorite player was Charles Barkley, so at that time, there was no internet, so every day we'd read the paper, read every box score. Always follow the Sixers. Always follow the Sixers. And that was the reason. Remember, on Sundays, you get your 3 NBA games. Probably 2 out of the 4 weekends, you would get a Barkley versus Stockton. I mean, versus Karl Malone. Barkley versus the Bulls. Barkley versus whatever the case may be. The Sixers found their way on primetime television. Now, in this area, I'm sure you remember because you were here, the Wizards were god-awful for the majority of our childhood, the Wizards were just, they weren't even the Wizards, excuse me, the Bullets.
Yeah.
The Bullets were god awful. Okay. Now, you could get tickets to the Bullets games, like it was, they didn't even, I don't know if you remember, it was the fan pack. Okay. And what you get with the fan pack, because that's the only time anybody went to Bullets games was to see the other team. So when this, you buy this 10 game fan pack and you get the Bulls game, you get the Sixers game, you get the Utah Jazz game, you get the Golden State game, you get the Rockets game, and that's what they sold you. They sold you the opposing team. So as a fan, I remember my stepfather would take me and my brother to these games because these were the players that we wanted to see. I wanted to see Charles, I wanted to see Olajuwon, and I wanted to see Clyde Drexler and whatever the case. And that is the reason that I'm a sports fan today, because I enjoyed watching these kids, these players. I grew up watching them. I saw them on TV. And when they came to town, I was fortunate enough to go to see them. Now, I say that to say, now that being said, Barkley would come in and he would do damage. I still remember watching him move the basket at a Bullets game and them having to call a timeout and delay and shift the basket back. He would put on a show, and all these guys would come in and they'd put on a show at the Bullets' expense because they're a terrible team. But the majority of the fans were there to see them. If that happens now, okay, fast forward, if Barkley and these guys were playing under this regime in the NBA today, you realize that these would be all games that they'd be sitting out? I pulled up NBA league leaders in games played. There's a handful, and I mean a very small handful, of players who have played all 72 games this year. A very small. And when you look on that list of players who have played 72, aside from John Wall and Chris Paul, they're the only all-star names on there. Okay, this, I'm thinking back, I put myself now at my kid's age, and my kids are diehard Kobe Bryant fans. And he gets to come to town one time a year. If I was to spend money to buy Lakers tickets and go to this game and find out that Kobe Bryant was resting, my kids would want to know why we were even at the game. Okay, if my stepfather had taken me to a Sixers game in 1988 to watch Jeff Malone, that Malone, and every other Malone that the Bullets used to throw out there, and Michael Adams take on Lydia Echols and whatever other Sixers on there, and while Charles Barkley sat down and enjoyed the game just like I did in a suit, it crushes, it takes it away. And what people don't understand, what these guys don't understand, you're hurting the brand. Okay, the reason. Like Whitney Houston said, and it's, you know, obviously the song was, I believe the children are the future. They are. Okay. Nowadays, there's so much more competition for kids' interest. Okay. When we were kids, all you really did as a male is you watched sports or you played video games. That was it. Now we have kids who are into fashion. They're into music. They're into seven. You're not just, it's not a given. Okay. When we were kids, if there was 15 kids in your class, 13 of them love sports, right? Nowadays, you go to these fourth and fifth grade classes, and that's not the case at all. They're going to be into music. Some are going to be into design. Some are going to be into fashion. Some are going to be into cars. Some are going to be into video games. Some are going to be into computers. There's so many other things that each one of those kids is taken away from the brand that is the NBA, from the brand that is the NFL. And the NBA is doing itself a disservice by not making its stars present for these games. And as it gets down to the end of the year, the other day, the Nuggets, who are not even close to anybody's contention for the playoff, they're just resting players. This whole concept of players being healthy and not playing is foreign to me. Okay? On different levels. One, Michael wouldn't do it and Kobe wouldn't do it. The idea that you are able to play basketball, but you're sitting down watching your teammates play basketball, and you are healthy and capable of playing, and you're just sitting by and watching. That doesn't sit well with me as a fan. I would like to think that the Michaels, the Kobe's, and the LeBrons of the world, they're not going to sit back and watch somebody play, right? You know what I mean? You would like to think that the guy that you look up to wants to be out there, and it kills him to watch other people play basketball. You know what I mean? I don't think Jordan's going to sit back and be like, boy, I'd love to see what Paxson go to work on these guys tonight. No. If the Bulls are on the court, I'm on the court. I am the Bulls. And Kobe Bryant's tried to do that. I am the Lakers. You know what I mean? And you just see these guys now just scratch after scratch after scratch. And this time of the year right now, as a guy, an NBA ticket owner, and I get the feed of what players are out. And every day, it's just, this guy is going to be out. That guy is going to be out. And we're talking about guys, the Spurs, what the Spurs do, doesn't even bother me as much for different reasons. One, they're old. Two, bigger picture. Three, they're not a blockbuster. Nobody's buying tickets to see Tim Duncan. Ginobili's exciting. I'll watch him on television. I wouldn't buy a ticket to see Ginobili, and I don't think people buy tickets to see Ginobili, but that's different. We got 23-year-old kids resting, 26-year-old players resting.
On losing teams.
On losing teams.
The year that the Bulls went 72-10, Jordan started all 82 games.
Right. And these guys, he's on the second end of a back-to-back. Like, what? Second end of a back and back, but he's there. That's the team's not sending him home. Okay. Oh, you don't know what it's like to fly from Utah to Phoenix and then play there. But from my understanding, he's still flying. He's still going to the game. You know what I mean? It's not like they said, "Hey, Joe, head on back home and we'll meet you there. We're heading to Phoenix." And he says, "Okay, I'll meet you guys back at the crib." You know, that's not how it works. If you're going to be in the building, play. And it's going to be it's not going to affect them today, and it's not going to affect them tomorrow. But let's believe that every time one of these kids goes to the arena expecting to see said player and he's not there, it's going to be a trickle-down effect. It is. And I don't feel like sports as a whole is in the position to be ignoring kids. I think you need to be – this is the time you need to embrace kids, okay? So right now there is this market that is here. And they're here, and there's these kids now. But you need to, and they're already there. But what you need to be worrying about is 20 years from now. And those kids that are, what are these 5 and 6 year olds right now? If they're not, this idea that you make your brand off of 30 year olds, you're not marketing the 30 year olds. You're not saying, nobody's 30 years old and not an NBA fan, but at 31 they became an NBA fan. You know what I mean? That's not how it works. You're not saying, boy, I wasn't really an NBA fan until I saw that commercial with James Harden in it. At 29, and that's when I started liking basketball. It starts when you're young. You wanted to play the sport. You liked it, and you enjoyed watching the sport. You had a favorite player. You bought that player's jersey. You followed that player's stats, and that's why you liked the sport. And for you to just keep shoving off the fans and the kids by doing this whole, we're resting players. Oh, so-and-so is shutting it down for the year. How many players are just shutting it down? That is a new phrase, shutting it down. Think about how many times we've seen in our generation, there were a lot of people played on a lot of bad teams for their career. I mean, Dominique played on terrible. He spent his entire career on the Hawks team. Mitch Richmond spent his entire career on a bad team. And then at the end of his career, he came here and he was done. You know, Rod Strickland spent an entire career on just a bunch of bad teams. There's so many people that I can say their name here. And they spent Steve Smith spent his entire career on bad Hawks teams. Glenn Rice spent his entire career on bad teams. And but they played their games. They didn't just say, we don't have a shot. Shutting it down. And so many players just shutting it down. The NBA needs Melo. Now, Melo needs to be out there. I don't want to make this, trust me, he's not the point of this conversation. I'm not talking about Melo. I'm not talking about Kevin Love. I'm not talking about one player. I'm talking about the ideology that games don't matter, and that the Sixers, a team that any player who showed an inkling of talent, they're shipping you out of town. That's dangerous, okay? There's kids in Philadelphia, I feel like they've missed 2-3 years of kids that is, why, they're not going to be a Sixers fan. There's no kid in Philadelphia right now who's a Sixers fan. Why would you be a Sixers fan? Why would you go to a Sixers game? Not only does your team not have any talent on it, the opposing team is resting their players. Okay? You know, Golden State comes to town, you're not seeing Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. You're seeing Harrison Barnes and I guess you get to see Iguodala again. You know what I mean? That's what you're getting to see when you're a Sixers fan. And that's not good for the product. It's not. And you need to understand, baseball right now, they're trying to change baseball, and they're coming up with all these ideas about how long the batter stays in the box. They want to shorten the game. I have 2 kids. I can't stand baseball. And let me tell you the reason I can't stand. I've never thought to myself, boy, this game was 2 hours and 30 minutes, but if it was 2 hours and 24 minutes, it would have been good. That shortening the game, people aren't not turned off the baseball because it's too long. Okay? They turn off the baseball because you're not attacking the kids, and they miss an entire generation of attacking the kids in America. Okay? Kids look up to players that they relate to. My kids watch baseball. Okay? And when we were kids, we watched football and you watched basketball. And you thought that you could be a football player or a basketball player. And the reason you thought that is because the people had the names like you and they looked like you. And you cheered for them. They're Barry Sanders. That's a normal name. I know a Barry Sanders. You know, Michael Irvin. I know a Michael Irvin. I know somebody who looks like Michael Irvin. I know somebody. Baseball, they have missed an entire boat by not reaching out to these kids. And these kids don't identify with the players. My kids have a fat head of Nick Markakis. Who the hell sounds like Nick Markakis? You know anybody? That there's a disconnect there. They don't have any young American marketable players that they're marketing to the kids. They're not saying, be the next Adam Jones. They're not being, you know, there's a Derek Jeter. He's one. You need to market these young. Then you get a guy like Yusil Puig, who is exciting, entertaining, and everything that looks fun. And what do they do to him? They pretty much bash him. Baseball has all these unwritten rules. It's nothing fun about baseball. This was a time where, you know, you need a guy like Dion. But if he came around us, he doesn't respect the game. You don't steal a base when, all these unwritten rules. You know, you would think a guy like Puig, you go out there and you have fun. And what do they say? He just doesn't get it. Yeah, you don't hit a home run when you're already up 10. What are you talking about? Why don't you hit a home run anytime you can hit a home run? You don't steal a base in the bottom of the seventh when the pitcher's due up next. And there's all these you don't swing on a 0-3 count. If I'm a kid, like, it seems like there's a lot of rules in that game that aren't part of the game. And it seems like anything fun, why would you try and attempt? You don't throw it from there. You always hit the cutoff man. You're not it just sounds so boring. You know what I mean? Whereas though everything else, NBA is getting hipper. And NFL is getting hip. Baseball is anything that remotely resembles being hip, you get bashed for it. You know, he's throwing too fast. You don't throw that fast. Showing up. There's no reason to be throwing 103 miles an hour. Showing up the pitcher. He hit the ball really far and then he looked at it. What do you mean he hit the ball really far and he looked at it? Imagine if they said that every time you dunked on somebody and then he told the guy he dunked on him. You can't do that. Then what's the point of dunking on somebody? What's the point of hitting the ball very far if you can't look at the ball after you hit it very far? What's the point of striking somebody out if you can't look at them and say, hey, I struck you out? You know, and you do that to the kid, and the kids see that. The adults in baseball are so concerned about the purity of the game and the adult aspect of the game is that it's almost like it's taken over from golf as the stiffest sport around. If I'm a kid and I watch that, I don't want to play that. That's not – nobody – you ever watch the baseball? They look like they're having fun to you? No. You run – in baseball, a guy hit a home run. He went too slow. Now, he might be going to get hit after because he went too slow. And then, see this guy sprinting around the bases? Who do you think he is? Hit the home run, and now he's sprinting around the bases. If I'm a kid, I'm like, so I can't walk around the bases, can't jog around them, and God forbid I sprint around them.
Can't look at the pitcher.
Then I was just about to say next, don't ever come around third base and look at the pitcher after you hit a home run. And don't spit to the left infield. You know, oh, he came around the base, and then he spit into the grass. You don't spit in the grass. What? It just sounds like, it doesn't sound like fun. And, like, again, like I said, the point being, if you're not attacking the kids, if you're not selling yourself to the kids, the trickle-down effect, the reason baseball didn't, now it's drying up. But it's not drying up because of what happened last year. It's not drying up because of what happened the year before. It's drying up because there's an entire generation that skipped baseball. They just completely skipped baseball. And that's because of what you guys, what these older baseball purists have done to preserve their game and not make that and you know, baseball actually is the one who started the resting players. You know what I mean? With so and so is gonna take a day off. Now that's fine because they play 162 games and when said team comes to your town, they're there for 4 days. So that's fine. But it's like out the blue basketball, guys are just resting. Just resting. Just for the hell of it. And they're playing with fire. They really are, and I suggest that they take a page out of it. It'll be a shame if they look up 15 years, because it's not going to be tomorrow, and it's not going to be the year after that. It's going to be 20 years from now. They're going to be trying to figure out where the interest went. And it didn't used to be. It used to be that you were just guaranteed any kid was every male kid was going to be interested in football. He's going to be interested in basketball. He's going to be interested in baseball. It just was guaranteed that you're going to be interested in sports because that's what kids did. And that's not the case anymore. You're not guaranteed anything. There's a whole line of males who have zero interest in sports whatsoever. Whether it be they're just interested 100% in females, whether they're just interested in cars, whether they're just interested in video games, but have zero sports interest. And it's going to affect them down the long run. It really is. And so next time these teams and these owners decide that, hey, you know, Melo should shut it down. Everybody on the Sixers should be traded. Kevin Love should take a couple weeks off. Everybody on said team, the Nuggets, they're out of playoffs. You know, Ty Lawson, all you guys, sit down. Everybody sit down. Kobe, shoulders acting up, sit down. This person, sit down. Everybody sit down. That's what the new thing is. You know, so-and-so, he's going to have surgery. He could come back in December, but we're already out, so he'll sit down for the rest of the year. You know, nowadays, a guy has surgery and he's on a bad team. They don't even tell you it's time. He'd be done. Done for the year. Like, why is he done for the year? Because what's he coming back for? You know, might as well rest him up for next year. Plus, we can lose some more games and get a better draft pick, which is also killing me. This idea that these better draft picks equals better records, because these draft picks are doing so much when they get in, right? You know what I mean? We got to get these draft picks. What are these draft picks turning out to be? Did you follow what I was saying with all of that?
Absolutely. And I just want to throw another stat out there. From the 10 seasons from 1986 to 1996, Jordan missed 7 games, not counting the season he was out.
Right.
7 games in 10 seasons. And 3 of those were 3 championship years where he didn't miss a single game.
And that's what it should be. And you know, I think another part of that is that's missing from this thing is rivalries and Jordan wanting these guys. Back in the days, a lot of these guys really didn't like each other. This was pre-AAU. This was pre-Dream Teams. In the NBA, I don't think this really, can you name bad blood?
No.
I don't think, one, it starts
probably
in the
last good rivalry was probably Miami versus Boston, but in the last 2 years, 3 years, I can't think of any, like, rivalries you'd care about.
Right, and it starts with, you know, it used to be when Michael came to town, I don't know who the player was, but I'm sure there's somebody on the Wizards he didn't like, the Bullets he didn't like, and he was going out there to make sure they knew it. And when he goes to Minnesota, there was somebody in Minnesota he didn't like, and he wanted to make sure that they, and it might be the coach. It might be the GM, you know, but it was something. It wasn't just the buddy. And now the whole NBA, everybody in the NBA is friends because one, they've all known each other since AAU. It's the same guys. They've known each other since the AAU circuits. They go to the same colleges together. And then not only that, at the higher echelons, they all play together on the Team USA stuff. Okay. So Kevin Durant doesn't hate, James Harden. No, they play together, you know, or Steph Curry doesn't have any problem with Chris Paul. They're teammates. And not only that, they spend the entire offseason recruiting each other. You know, come play with me, come play with me, come play with me. So they're all friends. So, you know, it's nothing for when Steph Curry goes to said city, he's not saying, man, I can't wait to go over there and hammer these people in Minnesota. He's saying, hey, man, I actually feel bad for Ricky Rubio. You know what I mean? Guys are a tough team, man. I'll sit this game out. You know, they're 30 games out of first place, so I could use a break. Why not? And this isn't about Steph Curry or Ricky Rubio. It's just an example of the difference. And who suffers is the product and the customers, the paying customers. And it will trickle down. I don't know if you remember when we were having the first or second show, and DeMar was saying, and I don't even want any credit for this, but remember DeMar said, I think OKC, man, they're getting it together. He said, did you see Kevin the other night? And I said, Kevin's in trouble. You remember I said that?
Yep.
He's like, nah. He's like, he had 34 last night. And what'd I say? Something's not right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, and it's very rare you ever hear me say this. I want to be so wrong. I want to be wrong. I want to be wrong. I want to be wrong. I'm going to say it again. I want to be wrong. It's not right. Something's not right there. It just isn't. This is a guy who spent his whole career injury-free. Then all of a sudden, this guy has 2 or 3 surgeries in about a 5-month span with the same issue. Something's not right there. And I pray for him because I as long as I've been doing this and meeting athletes and other celebrities, I can't say that I've ever come across a more humbled ratio of superstar to humbleness. I've never met a better person than Kevin Durant. I can just tell you endless stories about things that he did that were just unwarranted. No cameras around, nothing. Just a great dude. So I very much hope that this foot thing works out. And then this idea, that being said, I'm not, I think something's wrong there. I think something big is wrong. And I'm not so sure if this is a simple broken foot cast, 6 months and back to popping again. I don't think that's a situation. This is a situation that started, it's going to be coming up on a year ago. It happened in the summer. Okay. You have a foot issue in the off season that started in the summer, and it's about to be the summer again. And we're still talking about a foot issue. Then the idea of now that Westbrook's playing very well, and so that means OKC is fine without Durant. Crazy. The idea that you can have Westbrook and Kevin Durant, a healthy Westbrook and a healthy Kevin Durant, I'm not trading either one of them. Figure that's two of the top five players in the league. Figure it out. You know what I mean? That's at that point, that's a coaching problem that every coach in America wouldn't mind having. I don't think having Shaq and Kobe together, I don't think it was Phil would tell you it was the easiest thing he ever did, but figure it out. I'd much rather figure out how to win with Shaq and Kobe or in Durant and Westbrook than trying to figure out, you want to know what the real problem is? Trying to figure out how to win with Michael Carter Williams and Jason Richardson. That's a coaching problem. You know what I mean? That's a coaching problem. Trying to figure out how to Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant can coexist. Are you serious? That's two of the best five players in the NBA. Figure it out. I'll tell you one thing. Get Serge Ibaka off the three-point line. How about that? Like, as far as I'm concerned, between the two of them, they got the three-pointers taken care of. Maybe Serge spending a little bit of time in the paint and work. Imagine, though, if you get rid of I would take, say, for example, Joakim Noah is not nearly as offensive talented as Serge Ibaka. Serge, give me Noah. Yeah. On a team like that, where we don't need any more points. We're good on the scoring. Give me a guy who wants to go down there and bang, get rebounds, and you know, guard the opposing bigs. The stretch four thing is starting to get, everybody wants to be a stretch four now. Every team thinks you need the stretch four. And I understand the concept of it opens up the lanes for people to drive and whatever the case may be. Westbrook's good enough to get to the lane regardless. He doesn't need a stretch four. And KD can shoot from pretty much half court. You know, so I don't know. That's my opinion. Let me see. What else was there I wanted to touch on? You see, Greg Hardy finally got a job. A lot of people up in arms about that.
Yep.
Any thoughts on that?
I mean, it's like you said. No charges were.
He was actually convicted.
Was he convicted?
He was convicted.
Because I thought his girl.
Right. So he was convicted by a judge. A judge found him guilty, and he appealed.
And they sent it to a jury, right?
They sent it to a
yeah,
jury.
That's right.
And then Shorty Shane had amnesia and was nowhere to be found. And they found her at Bank of America. Showed up missing. They found her at Bank of America driving a Bentley. You know what I mean? Like, I don't even remember what happened or where I parked the Bentley. You know what I mean? And then the cases went away. So, I mean, which leads you to believe, I mean, obviously, that's the definition where there's smoke, there's fire. I think there's more than smoke and fire. But the fact is, we have a legal system, and that's what they came up with. And if he's going to be out and not in jail, what else would they like him to do?
Yeah, exactly. I don't feel that it's, like, our place to, like, tell anybody, like, you can't work in your profession, do your
right.
your livelihood because of moral reasons, you know?
I feel like if you have a problem with it, which, mind you, I fully can understand why somebody has a problem with it. What you need to be doing is writing your congressman, writing, you know, make your voice should be heard, not at the Cowboys Stadium, it should be heard at whatever state this happened in, Carolina. You need to be talking to your mayor, talking to, you know, marching on City Hall, Town Hall, and trying to figure out why it is that a man can be convicted of something and then just have the right to tend it to a you know, whatever the case may be. That's a bigger issue, which I think you can take liberty of and do that. But I'm not really sure that you can just say, here's a guy who's walking the streets and by the law is free to work And he could work at Walmart if he wanted to. He could work at Toys R Us if he wanted to. You know, he can work at Papa John's. Why not work for the Cowboys if he's a monster at what he does? He's as good as it gets at rushing the quarterback. And that being said, I think headlines like that make a lot of noise at this time of the year. But if he says absolutely nothing and gets 14 sacks and just says nothing. And when I say nothing, I don't even mean he can have success, but the second part is I don't even think people want to see you celebrating your success. All right? It just needs to be success, a sack, we had a good game, nothing. Now, woo, we did it. Like, yes, you did do it. And you were convicted of it. And now you're out there making money. That pisses people off. Okay? So, you know, just take it. And literally, America's a very forgiving society. So, I mean, the key, Michael Vick, when he got out, he was just quiet. You know, didn't say much, wasn't seen. And even when he came out and had that breakout year after, it wasn't ever about me and how great I'm doing. It was just, hey, man, I don't want to step on any, I don't want to make anybody mad. You know, I don't even need to be on TV more than I need to be. I don't want you to see my face. Nothing. And I think he's now, that's a rough issue, man. And I think we're going to not think, I know. When we look back at everything, every arrest that happens in the NFL is going to be broken up into pre-Ray Rice and post-Ray Rice.
Yeah, and I'm just thinking, like, what happens if, I doubt it is going to happen, but what happens if 2 months from now a video comes out of him, like, beating the crap out of this girl?
Right.
And then it's like, oh, all of a sudden it's like.
Oh, then it's the same thing is going to happen. Is, did we sign him?
Yeah, exactly.
We did not know. It's our first time hearing about any of this.
Exactly.
That's the world we live in. It's the weirdest thing. And, you know, it was the Ray Rice thing was Ray Rice, you know, knocked his girlfriend out in the hotel. And it was just like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. He got 2 games. And it was just like, oh, man, okay. And he's at the preseason game, flexing, touchdown. Nobody said nothing. There were no organized marches. There was nothing. There was no outrage. There was nobody calling for his job. And he never, and the thing is, he never denied it. He never said, all he ever said was, you know, it was a bad night. Can't happen again. I take full. He owned it from day one. So that's why when Goodell was like, oh, he lied to me. I'm like, come on, Roger, don't do that. He's been saying from day one that's what happened. So, you know, and the Ravens said, and he lied to us. He told us it was what happened. So then all of a sudden this video comes out, and it was like, oh, so he punched his girlfriend. Like, it's what he said. He said he punched her, and she was unconscious. You know, but the video comes out, and it's like, oh, my God. Did you know he punched his girlfriend? Like, yeah. That's what happened. That's what he said happened. He punched her and she was unconscious. Just the society we live in. It's the society we live in. But, hey, you know, Greg Hardy, if you're a Cowboys fan, you got a great pass rusher. And trust me, he will not even, I'm willing to bet he will not even be in the top 10 worst character that the Cowboys have ever to ever put on a Cowboys uniform. You know what I mean? It's just such a different era. But if this had happened 15 years ago, no way. There's a good chance the majority of people wouldn't even have known about it. It would have been a story that day, maybe. It certainly would have been a story a week later. You know what I mean? It's just such a different society where so many people want to act outraged by things that they already knew. So that leaves that one. What else? Did anything else happen since the last time we talked?
I don't know.
You know, a lot of things happened. No one happened. Well, we can just leave that there, but I really wanted to, as I sit back and I watch and I just look at the players not playing tonight, Gordon Hayward not playing, another guy who's a young up-and-coming player who I feel like the NBA needs to be marketing right now, but, and also signed a $70, $80 million contract, something like that, makes a fortune. He's out, he's the face of the franchise and the Jazz, and a lot of people have no idea who he is, but I think it's a good chance for people to see who he is. He's a very talented player, but he's sitting down, the Jazz are out of it. So you won't see him. You know, you just look at it. Kevin Martin, Ricky Rubio. Matter of fact, the Timberwolves, I think damn near all 5 of their starters are out. They're just throwing guys out there. And no, the ankle hurts a little bit. Nah, sit down. That's Kevin Garnett. I'm just reading from that. Kevin Garnett, not going to play. Gary Neal, not going to play. I mean, who's playing? Greg Monroe, ruled out. And Kevin Martin, ruled out. Ricky Rubio, out. Alex Shipp. And it's not even, I'm not saying that these players aren't hurt. I'm not saying that, but you're not going to tell me in 1980 nobody had a twisted ankle.
Right.
You know what I mean? You're not that wasn't the case. You're not going to tell me that Jordan, when he played 82, all 82 games, his ankles were fresh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you rolled your ankle, you twisted, you taped it back up, and you went back out there. You had a job to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the success that the NBA is enjoying now. that's how companies work. The success that you're enjoying now is off of what happened 15 years ago. You know what I mean? So the mistakes that you make, like, remember they said what killed baseball was that strike season. It killed it years later. And you know, the steroids thing, they're feeling it now because they had an inflated game and the product fell in love with the long ball and the home run. And that's what the baseball was built off of. And then you eliminated it. And now the trickle down effect is starting to feel it. You know what I mean? So basketball is going to feel this. Not going to feel it today, not going to feel it tomorrow, but they will feel it when they say, man, you know, where's that demographic? Where's that 15 to 20 demographic? That 15-year-old to 20-year-old demographic, man, they fell in love with other things. They're playing with remote control. They're playing with other things. They're playing Call of Duty. If I have to choose between watching a Timberwolves game with not one starter on the team versus the Wizards and none of their starters, or play Call of Duty, the kids are going to play Call of Duty. And there's only so many times before they say, man, you know, every time I turn on the NBA. And then you couple that with these Eastern Conference playoffs that we're about to get, with this Raptors versus Hawks series and stuff like that. Well, the league's in trouble, dude. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to be an effect. Like, you need to target these kids, and they're also not doing any themselves any favors with the fact that the best basketball games, i.e., a Clippers versus Warriors game, is going to be happening at what time? A1. It's going to start, exactly. It's going to start at 10:30 on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Over here on the East Coast. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's not marketing the product. That's not marketing your product.
Yeah.
So your choices are, before you go to bed, son, would you like to watch that Raptors versus Hornets game? No, Dad. Can I stay up and watch? No, you cannot stay up and
school
watch.
School night. It goes off at one in the morning.
No, you cannot. You can definitely not watch the Clippers versus Golden State on a school night.
Right.
It's over at one. I can't even stay up and watch them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, no, you can't. And it's gonna happen. They need to find a way to make this Eastern Conference more competitive. They need to find a way to get the Eastern Conference playoffs need to be a better product. It's a bad product. And for the last two or three years, until you got the Heat versus Pacers, the rest of it was just a waste of everybody's time. You know what I mean? It was just a waste of everybody's time. And the playoffs, again, it's gonna be the Cavs versus, I don't even see the Cavs Hawks as must see TV. And if Derrick Rose isn't going to be healthy, the Bulls series is much TV. And the rest of it is just a bunch of teams out there playing basketball. You know, and it's going to take effect on them. All right, well, that's this week's show. Anything you want to say before we get out of here?
No, I'm good.
No, good. Make sure you guys click over and listen to the college basketball tournament show with Delonte Hill and my main man TJ back in the barbershop. You can look in there and get all their fantasy or college basketball fixed, because I know that's a whole different audience. Next week, check us back out Tuesday, same time. Well, yeah, we record on Tuesday, and the show will be up on Wednesday. Make sure you go on iTunes, subscribe to the show, Player's Voice, The Barbershop. What is it, The Barbershop?
Yeah.
The Barbershop on Player's Voice. Facebook, playersvoice.com. Twitter, Gray A. Mark on Twitter. I should tweet for March Madness. I should have done that. I should have tweeted join the Maryland game. Probably wouldn't have. That'd have been a harder while. I should have tweeted join the first one. Second one, not so much. Maybe I'll tweet for the Final Four or something like that. You know what I will do? I will tweet join the NBA playoffs. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to come out of my Twitter shell, and I'm going to take on Kevin Hart. I'll probably tweet him and go to, like, start a beef with him. Because isn't that how you get big on Twitter? You start a beef with somebody?
Yeah.
Maybe I'll start a beef with, like, Colin Cowherd or something like that, or since we do the same thing, you know, we're on the same level. And I just tweet at Colin, like, you don't want it with me. You don't know more about basketball than me, or something. Then he'll go back, and then boom, I'll be famous. Right?
Yep.
Or pick a fight with, like, Ja Rule or something like that. Is he still alive?
I think so.
Okay. Just checking. All right. Thank you again for everybody for checking out the show, and look forward to coming back and doing it all again next week. Have a good week.